This is LabCast, insights and ideas for the expansion stage senior manager, hosted by OpenView Labs.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of LabCast. Today's podcast is the first in a two-part conversation with venture partner Firas Raouf and Justin Puri, director of content at Mimecast. Justin called in all the way from the UK to talk about the concept of building capital efficiency for expansion and early stage technology companies. Here's Firas.
Justin, thank you very much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Great to meet you face, well, over voice.
Well, we're here to talk about one of my favorite topics about early stage technology companies, which is how to build a capital efficient early stage technology company.
And possibly one of the most understood, I would say.
Right. Well, I find myself having to explain what that means quite a bit. And I tend to run into two kinds of founders. One who gets it, but gets it as I'm funding my own company, therefore I live by cash, therefore I'm going to only spend what I can afford. And they don't realize that in our world is called a capital efficient business.
Yeah, for me, I mean, there's almost no excuse to not know, and probably the best piece on this is Bessemer's laws, and really understand the mechanics of how building subscription businesses actually work. I mean, so, I mean, going back to basics, I mean, a lot of people don't understand about customer acquisition cost and how that relates to, you know, building a scalable business. I don't know what you think to that.
Well, I mean, the way I start the conversation is really talking about the best path to capital efficiency is building a profitable distribution model, and where your sales and marketing costs needs to be directly associated with new customer acquisition and new customer bookings, and when you start thinking about it that way, the next question becomes, well, you know, what ratio should we be looking for? And I try to paint it in very simple terms and very simple numbers. And you know, a dollar in sales and marketing should generate a dollar in a new customer booking, and that makes sure that you've covered your sales and marketing costs in the first year. And obviously then you can get into more depth around, are you collecting the cash up front or monthly, and how do you manage your cash flow? But and then right after that, you talk about renewal and upsell in the second year, where you should be aiming to renew that dollar in the second year at a dollar or more, assuming there's churn and upsell involved in that.
Yeah, birth, death, and marriages tend to affect our upsell more than anything else. So companies, new companies starting and acquiring, companies going into administration or bankrupt, and then mergers and acquisitions. So I mean, we typically find that we don't hit 100%. It's very, very, very close to that, but it's not always 100%, because 100% is really hard, especially if you're not bringing out new product lines all the time or adding additional product lines.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think the 100% is an aspiration and something that you need to aim for. I can tell you, across our portfolio of SaaS companies, the majority of them are not at 100%, but it does drive a lot of focus and initiatives around that to try to determine why not. And what we noticed a few years ago with a first wave of SaaS companies that we invested in is, in the second year, assuming that our money went in to help them grow in the first year, and the second year the renewals came up and they were more, so a couple of those companies were at 50%. And what
That's
they
horrendous.
Yeah, which is atrocious. And what they realized is they really had not thought about renewing customers and keeping in touch with customers and thinking about whether or not they will churn and whether or not they can upsell them, because they were so focused on new customer acquisition. And so by tracking that metric, it forced them to look at their customer service, to look at their product, to look at the serviceability of their product, and it led to a lot of initiatives around it, and now the numbers are up in the more in the 80% to 85%.
Because I think we've skipped over quite a large topic right at the beginning. You know, when you talk about you know, customer sales and marketing cost should equal to you know, if you spend a dollar on sales and marketing, you need to get a dollar of revenue in year one from that customer. So, I mean, Bessemer equates that to a customer acquisition cost of one and revenue of one. Where a lot of people get tripped up is because SaaS has evolved typically into, you know, monthly billing, sometimes month-to-month contracts, and it becomes increasingly hard for founders and executives to track those metrics effectively and to really deliver on them. And I think that's one of the real learnings that, you know, for me personally, I would do if I was founding a SaaS business today. I would build my metric system before almost I built anything else, because you can't manage what you can't measure. So getting that right up front is absolutely key. The second issue there, I think, is cash management, because a lot of people get hung up on the whole monthly billing thing. Whereas, you know, and you've sort of alluded to the whole monthly billing and annual billing thing there. But I think that annual billing can be one thing that SaaS companies can use to their real advantage, because if you're in a market where custom monthly billing is absolutely demanded, you can be really clever about how you manage your cash. Because cash from customers is cheaper than cash from investors, so you could easily offer a discount for an annual subscription, even though the contract, you know, you could buy monthly.
I totally agree with you. I think you know, what we found in our portfolio, which tends to be more business to business SaaS companies, it's a lot easier for them to ask for the annual billing upfront, and. But when they start, they have a tendency to start with a monthly subscription just because it's easier to get customers to sign up. And at least in the case of business to business, but I think it also applies to business to consumer, one of the issues with monthly billings is that they turn, you know, customers who are billed monthly tend to have a higher churn than customers who are billed annually. And yes, it's more difficult to sign up a customer that pays annually, but that pain is more sort of, so to speak, worth it, because you'll end up with less churn. So I'm not sure if you ran into that experience.
I can't say I have specifically, because I've dealt with really sticky services. One of the goals I've always had is to always get involved with services that are really sticky. I guess the downside of sticky services is that you have to put a lot of effort up front to get people into them, because they, you know, they're going to be in for a long time, and you know, they do a lot of due diligence on that service before they sign.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, that could easily take us in another tangent, which is how to architect your solution to be sticky.
Yeah, I mean, there've been lots and lots of talk about it. I think that there are a couple of things that you need to think about. I mean, the first thing is that the stickier you make your solution, the more difficult the sale is going to be. So you have to watch out for that. And then the second piece is, you know, you've almost got to make your solution as easy and open to get out of, to, you know, to counteract that problem. But what you want to deliver is an amazing service that people never want to leave. And that's what, you know, that's what I spend a bit of time, quite a bit of time working on.
That concludes part one. Tune in next week for part two of the conversation between Justin and Firas, where they talk a little bit more about balancing capital efficiency with business growth for early stage technology companies.